Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for September 18th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Pooya. How are you doing, Pooya?
I'm doing well, Taryn. I remember it being interesting because the first time we talked this summer, we went on for 2 hours, one of the longest ones ever done. And ever since, it's been getting cut and cut and cut, and I think we're going to set a new record today. And that might just be me being optimistic, but we'll move on. We'll see what happens.
Yes, we have some things to update you on, but it was not a hectic night, although there was a bit of movement before the eviction that we need to talk about. But should be a relatively lighter update today. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. I'm not going to fall into that trap, Pooya.
We're set here. Up expectation.
Yeah, we're here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 44 in the house, and it was not quite as exciting as last season's day 44, but we did get some interesting stuff here before the eviction. So the night before yesterday, night before last, we saw that with Ian and Tyler on the block, Ian was trying to get together the votes to stay, and he realized that he did not have them because the plan was to convince him that it was going to be unanimous against him so that Nicole could not have to cast a sympathy vote, but he refused to let her do that. So they went with the alternative plan, which was to make it a 5-3 split and then have Nicole blame David for flipping. So he had talked to David and David had agreed to vote for him. And he approached Davon in the morning and said, "Hey, Day, if you vote with me, we can force a tie. Are you willing to do that?" And Day said, "What do you mean? Where's the fourth vote coming from?" And he said, "I've got David." And she said, "I don't think you have David." And he said, no, I swear to you, I spoke to him last night. We shook hands and I've got him." And she's like, "I literally just talked to him and he gave me no indication that he was doing that. In fact, he gave me the opposite indication." He was like, "Well, I don't know why he would lie to me about this. It doesn't make any sense. Why would he do that? He's just pissing off a juror. I'm pretty sure he's voting with me. If I have you, I think I'm going to stay. She goes, okay, well, I'm going to go talk to him then, because I don't believe this. And she goes and checks with Kevin. She's like, Ian is telling me that David told him that he's going to vote with him. Kevin's like, what? Since when? She's like, apparently since last night. He's like, I don't believe that. She's like, me neither. And so she's like, I guess I'm going to go ask him. So she goes and grabs David. And she says, David, what are you doing with the vote? And he's like, I don't know. What do you want me to do with the vote?
44 freaking days. And David still comes through with the riddles and the, I don't know. What would you like me to text you? Like, just say it. Just say it. For your own benefit, just say it. Not even for our benefit. For your game benefit, just say what you mean. Yeah. It's why?
So she's like, okay. Ian is telling me that you're telling him you want to keep him. He's like, yeah. Yeah. Since you've been campaigning for Tyler all week. Like, well, I figured we'd force a tie, make Danny get some blood on her hands. Okay. Are you sure? Like, are we can do this, but like, we need to be in, we need to do this. And he's like, yeah, we're good. Just like, keep it on the down low though. Don't like chill. Don't tell anyone. She's like, okay. So she goes back to Kevin. She's like, he's saying he's going to do it. Kevin's like, oh man, I don't know. She's like, yeah, he's being real sketchy. Kevin's like, I'm going to go talk to him because I need to go check. She's like, yeah, go talk to him because I can't. So Kevin goes and talks to him. It's the same story. It's like, you're going to do this? He's like, yeah, force tie. Like, you're sure? Because you can't back out on us because we're sticking our necks out here. He's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, force tie. Make Danny get blood on her hands. Okay. It's like, but we like, you gotta chill. Like, nobody can find out. You gotta keep it on the down low. Okay. So Kevin goes to Ian. He's like, so I talked to David and I think he's in, but I don't know. I'm really sketched out. And Ian's like crying, like, oh my God, this is gonna happen. He's like, you can't cry. Don't cry because David's gonna freak out. He's gonna back out if you cry. You make it obvious. And Ian's like, oh, okay. But wait a minute. Wouldn't it be good if I'm crying? Because it seems like I'm going home. And Kevin's just like, I don't know. I don't think Dave is going to do it. So you just need to like, we just need to make sure he doesn't back out of this.
The more we land on neutral, the less likely we are to upset the apple cart that is David and his wild cardness and random decision making, at least to what they're seeing. So it's I could only imagine how hard mm-hmm. it would be to try and have David as an ally, both because you can't tell what he's saying and because you can't tell what he's going to do.
So Devon and Kevin go to Nicole and Danny, and they're like, apparently David's in. Apparently, like, this is on. We can do this. You're really going to break the tie to evict Ian? Or sorry, to evict Tyler? And Danny's like, yeah. Yeah, let's do this. Let's make this happen. And they're, of course, lying. And Nicole's like, oh, my God, I'm so excited. But are you sure we can trust David? And Devon's like, I really don't think we can trust David. But like, we got to try. Right. Like, he's saying he's in. Why would he lie? Right. And so Nicole talks to Ian, and Ian's excited. And she's like, I don't know, Ian. I wouldn't get your hopes up too high. And he's like, well, they're not up to, I feel like I've got, this is at least a shot, right? I've got like a 20% chance. And she's like, I just don't trust David or Kevin at all. I just don't trust them. I feel like we're getting played, but it's fine. We're going to try. I'm excited. Nicole goes back to Danny, and they're talking about, like, Nicole's like, how do I act? What do I do? I don't know. I'm bad at this. I got to act sad, right? Danny's like, you ever like say something during like maybe you should say when the votes are read, like, oh, I knew it. And Nicole's like, I don't know. Sometimes I say things, but I don't know. Like, Danny had a bunch of really bad ideas.
Yeah, just a lot of improv that was very clear she does not take classes for. So I'm glad that none of them came to fruition.
Yeah, just like in general, like they're planning on pretending that they like if you are in the Nicole position, you do not want to be the person that says, I knew it. You don't want to be the person that says, I don't trust this. You want to be the naive idiot who fell for it. You want to be the person who's like, we're going to do this. We've got this. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. And then when it doesn't happen, you're like, what? Wait, what? And then the other person, Devon and Kevin, they need to be the ones to go to Nicole and be like, Nicole, we told you David's not trustworthy. They need to convince Nicole that it's David, not the other way around. But they, you know, they're, you know, Danny's like, oh no, you should go to Ian. You should go to Kevin and David and be like, oh, I just really don't trust David. I really think he's going to flip on us. It's like, trying to set it up. But then, but that's the stuff that'll give you away.
Yeah. I do think that this entire thing was mishandled, but then you have also talked about how it's a little bit of Ian's own fault for portraying himself the way he has and forcing people to want to do this to try and cover it up. But I do think that ultimately, you know, just faking shock is way better of a move than faking Eureka. I knew it all along. Now it's all coming in my face.
Yeah. So she also has to prepare what she's going to say while voting. She doesn't want to look like a monster to the audience. So she's practicing different versions of her vote out speech. She probably should have practiced a little bit more and also should have waited for the feeds to go down.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have helped a lot. I do think this was kind of the proof of something that I've been feeling for a while, which is Nicole cares more about what the casuals think of her than she does of what us, the feeds, the loyal fans, quote unquote, feel of her, because everything this whole day is indicative of that. Not that other things haven't been, but, and this all comes down to what her occupation is now. She is a social influencer, brand influencer, and the more people give her the thumbs up, the more endorsement she gets. Little does she know, it's been a little rough as far as the inbox goes for the endorsements, but she's certainly going to put in a performance to try and keep as many as she can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, I think she's given up on the feed people.
Yeah,
I think
safe at this point, safe to say. Yeah. Safe to say.
And really, I mean, she lost them a long time ago anyway. So
yeah, before the season started.
That's what she's doing there. Tyler says that his part of the plan, he's going to pull David aside before the vote, just to like speak to him privately, briefly, and make it seem like perhaps he's flipping David's vote, and just to further make David seem a little sketchy. The backup plan is that if framing David does not work, then Nicole or perhaps Danny will suggest that, oh man, what, maybe there was a power to like steal a vote. Maybe that's what happened. So just backup plan.
Just quick question. Clarification question. Would this not count under, you know, stop using production as strategy?
No.
Given
it's,
that they talk,
it's speculation.
This is fair game if they used it.
Yeah. It because lying about you, like if you have a power that has specific rules, you can't lie about the rules of your power because production is backing up the statement that you have a power. You can't then use that backup by production to say, these are the rules of my power that aren't actually the rules. But if you try to claim that you have a power when you don't, that's fine. If you try to claim that a power was used that wasn't, that's also fine. You're like, just random speculation about powers is fine. All right. So speaking of powers, Danny decides not to use her power this week. She does not want to use it.
No. Which, did we finalize this was, she should have just done it? There was no reason to not participate.
Yeah. I mean, just use the power. I mean, look, Danny was in danger. Well, and was is the key term here, because we'll talk about what happens. But like, if David, Devon, or Kevin win HOH, all three of them probably put Danny on the block. And in all three of those scenarios, she probably goes home if she doesn't win the veto. Like the idea that she doesn't want to give herself a little bit of a, like an extra number to help win this HOH against David, Kevin, or Devon is for no good reason.
No, and I think that, you know, the argument of, well, it's, you know, casting a more of a threat level onto me. You've won one competition. If you win another, you're at a point where there's three very clear nominations that you're side wants, and there's two that you were willing to put up the last week as your primaries that you can put back up again. It's a bit of a win-win situation for you, and then the week after it's mute, like you don't even need to worry about using it, because quite frankly I think this power doesn't really extend itself to you want to use it on somebody else. It doesn't incent, like, what is she going to do now, use it on the new HOH potentially? She that's very possible given the person that won, but that would be results oriented thinking. Because like if someone else had won, like the three that would have put her up won, then she can't use it there either. So it just would have been a complete. I think this was an easy decision to make, given that she was the winner. But hey, sometimes things work out even when you don't mean for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing is that when you have powers like this, you need to use them effectively. You know, thinking back to Tyler in Big Brother 20, thinking that saying I never needed to use my power was like going to be like this cool argument, then people were like, that's dumb, stop saying that. People don't care about you not using a power. In fact, I think, you know, having powers, having twists benefit you, having any power in the game at all, whether it's HOH, veto, whatever, not using that power to do anything, it's not, like having the veto and not using it is still a move. You're still doing something sometimes. It depends on the circumstances. Like Devon not using the veto last week would have felt like, oh, she chickened out. Using the veto was like, oh, she made a move. That's the kind of thing that juries remember and respect. Using power in other circumstances, not using the veto is the move. And that can be respected as well. But with a power like this, like with a power like anything, you want to use it. Now, if she does like make a deal with the new HOH and get something out of it and then uses it, that's still using her power. I think that's fine. Yeah. But if she thinks that like she can have this power that would have allowed her to compete again in an HOH competition, and there are people that know about it, and people will, like, everybody in the jury will find out that she had the power, she didn't use it on herself. I think that the perception of that is going to be, that's weak. It's weak. She didn't use her power. She was afraid to compete again. Like, she was afraid that people would find out. Like, it's just weak. You use power in the game.
Especially, you know, when you factor in the makeup of what your jury is going to look like. And certainly, this is the type of jury that values win, values using your advantages, using your powers, because that's how they see a game of beat. This isn't like Survivor where I don't need to use the idol because I'm so well situated and I'm controlling this side and I'm doing all these things. That's a thing where everyone's up for, you know, elimination. This is something where wins will dictate who has power and who has control of the game. And if you have an alliance, that's good. But also, you look at the alliance you're in, you look at the makeup of the jury. These are a lot of people that do not think you're contributing all that much. You've had one win that you've given to your alliance and you've taken out Ian, yes, but also you have another chance to do the same thing and help the alliance more. Look at all these other guys that have won now, have given to the alliance to the point where Cody's sitting here like, well, this person kept me safe, I value them, I want them in the end. I think there's a lot to be said about having a power and using it versus not using it, especially make your case at the end, you're going to need as much ammunition as you have.
Yeah. And again, I want to be clear, like, regardless of what the right move, like, technically is for you, it's about perception.
Right.
That, like, maybe let's pretend that Dani did not need to use this power. She did not need to compete because she was not in danger, and that not using it, it just doesn't, you know, shake the apple cart or whatever. Not using it is a slightly better move for her in the game because it doesn't shake anything up at all. It's still the perception of it that she did not use it is still going to be bad. And we've seen this already that her allies are like, why aren't you using it? Like if you don't use it on yourself, would you use it on me? Because I would love it. Like I want to get my hands dirty. Like I want to compete. Like why are you so afraid to compete? It just looks weak, and that's what you need to be worried about, especially for Dani, who is going to be, you know, if she makes it to the end, probably sitting next to some people that she might have some trouble beating in the first place.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So we get to the eviction, and by a vote of 5-3, Ian has been evicted from the Big Brother house. We talked about it last night. I thought good exit from Ian, despite everything that was said prior to it by him.
Yeah. I talked about this last night as well. It's been rough, you know, hearing some of the things Ian has said and the way he's been behaving has been a little spicy, which is kind of not the Ian we're used to seeing all that much, although he has gotten spicy in his last game as well, a little bit with Frank here and there. But like the whole, like, you know, I'm going to be bitter, I'm going to vote this person, I'm not even going to want to go in there. I think ultimately seeing that exit, it took me back to Ian's more of a student of the game. He respects the game. I think he was kind of mad that he was, you know, just out of nowhere taken out without any warning. But I think once the shock settles, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. He's going to do well. He's already won once, made it to jury. Things could have been a lot worse for Ian, but it is what it is. Fine.
We'll see. All right. So we get to the HOH competition and we have a new HOH. Memphis is our new HOH. Apparently, Tyler came close. He said he got tripped up by like one piece at the end. To which I was like, okay. I don't think Tyler wanted this. So Memphis wins HOH. Devon chose Christmas to be a have not.
That's right.
She was pissed. Now, to be clear here, the feeds were down for 3 hours after the episode, so we missed a lot.
Everything.
So this is just what we've pieced together after the facts, unfortunately. That Devon chose Christmas. She was pissed. David chose Cody. He was like not happy, but they have a conversation about it afterward. There was also apparently a blow up between David and Day, they were talking about, like, David was yelling, and stuff like that. And, it was about the vote, I think, apparently that Devon was upset with David about the vote, but nobody really knows what happened. I think it was like a private blow up. Like they got into an argument. Other people were kind of overheard a little bit of it. Because they're trying to hide the content of the argument because they were arguing about the votes. They're both lying about their votes. So as of right now, she believes that that David did vote to keep Tyler and is lying to her about it. And that I would imagine was the content of this this argument. But we missed it on the feeds. And anytime it's mentioned at all, the feeds cut. The only argument we have seen on the feeds this entire season was Christmas's thing with Bailey and Devon. Every other one has been cut from the feeds. And anytime anything is mentioned of a blow up regarding these things, the feeds get cut. It's as though the policy this season is to genuinely just not show any blow ups and not even allow them to talk about them after the fact.
Completely, which honestly is a dagger to for multiple reasons. One, obviously, there are people that are here to watch the drama, the dramatics, the fights. That's all gone now. These are some of the intriguing stuff on the feeds to see. The other side, Taryn, is the Taryn side of things. You want to see the strategy that comes out of it. You want to see what is the thing that happened, that this incident that caused all these other little seeds to hatch. We're not seeing these things anymore. And I think the biggest detriment is the fact that for the 3 hours of what should be the most intriguing part of feeds are cut completely now. They come back in at midnight when everyone's just exhausted waiting for the HOH to get their room anyway. So they're not really doing all that much. So it puts a damper on a lot of entertainment, a lot of enjoyment for us, honestly. The whole Davon's picks for the have-nots. So the one thing I did hear was that Cody talked about how apparently Tyler said, don't pick me. And then that caused Cody to get picked, which caused Cody to get upset about it.
Well, that's what. So that was David's excuse. We know that David planned on picking Cody. He talked to Davon about it beforehand, that he was planning on picking Cody to weaken him because it's Cody. So I don't know if Tyler actually said not me, or if David is just pretending that he was like shaking his head or something. But that was David's excuse for not picking anybody other than Cody, because Cody was like, there were a bunch of other options, man. But he was doing it like, again, in that like charming Cody way where it's like a joke still. And David was like, well, everybody else was saying, no, not me. And Cody was like, well, yeah, man, cause I didn't want to do that to you. So I wouldn't want to put you in that spot. So you picked me. That's what happened there. And they are bringing up. So David did refer to being called a derogatory term. We can maybe connect this to his argument with Day, but unfortunately, the feeds continue to cut. We have no idea what it was, when it was said, or anything like that. So
who? Yeah, none of it.
Exactly.
Zero of the information. So given the statement they put out yesterday with regards to the Memphis stuff, I have a feeling we're never going to find out what happened here.
Well, I'm sure David will say eventually when he comes out of the house.
Postseason.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. We'll find out. Just mark this down. Question to ask David.
Yeah.
Cody and Danny talk. He says that he does not want David to go this week, that he feels like targeting David would be such a waste this week that it should be somebody other than David. And Danny kind of pushes back a little bit that, well, not necessarily. I mean, David's coming for Memphis and all of this. So it seems like so far I'm feeling like we might get a little bit of a, you know, Cody Danny proxy fight here over whether David or Day will go home this week, but I don't know if it will matter because Memphis is historically not taking any input anyway. So we're not entirely sure where this is going to go yet. Memphis said straight up, "Not talking tonight."
Did we expect anything else? No. The answer is no. I'm going to lock the room. I'm a chill. That's it. No conversations. Again, when a Memphis HOH hits, Puya knows that Liana's got more work cut out for her than I do. So yeah. I'm sitting pretty.
I mean, it's also like, look, I enjoyed Memphis's first HOH reign myself on a selfish level because it was kind of a crazy week because he caused chaos in the house by not listening to anybody. And I got to sleep that week. Memphis yes. Institute's good bedtime schedule. So. It was a perfect scenario for me.
Yeah, no, the curfews helped. I got a good night's sleep last night, too, for the first time in a minute. So can't complain about that part of it.
Yeah, I have a feeling this time it's probably going to be more like not an exciting week, but at least I'll get some sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least get some sleep, get some fun, do some of the other hobbies we've neglected since the start of the season. It'll be fine. It'll be okay.
Yes. So Christmas does talk to Memphis. This is the little bit of game talk we do get from him. They talk through the schedule for the rest of the game. They're anticipating two double evictions. And Memphis mentions that of the three that are not in the alliance, essentially, he is the least concerned about Davon. So that is the complete opposite of Cody. We'll see if Cody is able to change this. Christmas immediately disagrees. She says Day is smart and she will win these competitions coming up. These they're going to get more mental. You're a couple years behind, but well, maybe. She is most concerned about Kevin in terms of competitions, but she feels like Davon would probably be second most concerned about in terms of competitions. Memphis did not seem like he was fully, you know, because again, it's Memphis doesn't listen to anybody. I don't think that she made a lot of headway there, but Memphis implying here in this conversation that his initial thoughts are Kevin and David as the two nominees because Davon is the person he's least concerned about.
Yes. So, and I think that Memphis is the type of person to completely look at it in a binary code kind of way of she played three seasons and has won one comp. Therefore, she is not a threat to me. That's how he's going to be looking at it. And I do think if it was anyone else, Taryn, that was sitting at the throne this week, it would be very interesting because I do think the Cody versus Danny thing would be a thing. I do think that Cody's been tired of, you know, having his option always be plan B. He wants Kacer out. Janelle's the one going out. He wants Ian out. Three other people have to get on before Ian goes out. So I think Cody's sick of that and wants once for once to have his say. But again, Memphis is the type of person to not really want to do any of that. We'll see what happens with the conversation with Cody when it happens. But ultimately, I do think that it's looking like what we would have predicted, which is I think Kevin and David are going to end up back on the block once more.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because something that Cody talked about in the early game that he felt like other people were messing up, especially people like Danny, is that he said it's very important to pick your battles and that he felt like those battles in the early portion of the game were not worth fighting, that, you know, losing Janelle over Kacer, whatever, losing, you know, Bailey over Davon, whatever. It didn't ultimately matter that much to him. But he is, from what I'm seeing, choosing to fight this battle. He does think it's important that David stay this week. David seems to be a big part of his endgame plans, and we'll see this over the course of the night. He talks to Nicole. He says that he really doesn't think they should send David home. Nicole agrees. He says that Kevin and Day are super tight, and they don't trust David. They think he voted against them. They don't trust him. There's a lot of tension there. So it makes sense to split up Kevin and Day, which leaves two people left in the game who don't trust each other. And then they have a harder time working together and we can then pick them up. And that's good for us. He says a good excuse that we can use for Memphis is that, look, this whole plan was to get Kevin and Day to not trust David because they think that he flipped on them to vote to keep Tyler. So it makes sense that we keep him off the block because he voted with us, right? That's his, you know, you voted with us. You're with us. Why would you be on the block? And Nicole says that's a great idea because we need to keep up this ruse. And so Cody has a few different arguments to make in favor of David that don't seem like selfish arguments. I think the real thing that is happening here is that he wants to pull David in and use him as anti-committee faction weapon here, if possible, an insurance policy, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is the correct pick for him of who's left, because I think he correctly is seeing and is concerned about Davon's connection with the girls. And he knows, I don't think he thinks that that's the piece he can have. And I think Kevin's the other option, but then I think he feels like he'll be able to wrangle David. And just like Tyler was doing the same thing early on in the season, I think now he thinks that, hey, this is a piece that's up for grabs and he can use a couple of excuses. Obviously the biggest one being, let's split these two. These two are together. She just used the veto on him. So everything, like, this is a very good read on Cody. Now the question is he going to overplay to get what he wants or really try to get what he wants this week? Or does he see that, maybe we can salvage it for next week. Ultimately, as long as David isn't the one going, I think he doesn't care if he ends up on the block.
Right. Yeah. So he sets it up as a way to try and convince Memphis to not put him on the block in the first place. I imagine he will be working all week long to try and convince Memphis to at least be okay with the fact that, like, and I imagine his ultimate plan, his ultimate backup plan to save David this week will be to fall back on essentially what he used to keep Tyler, which is, hey man, everyone else wants this. Everyone else wants David gone. You really want to stick your neck out to like really get David gone. That sort of thing. I'm feeling right now if Cody maintains this line of thinking, which is not necessarily going to happen because I don't fully trust David to not screw it up somehow.
Of course.
Then I do think David will stay this week. I do. Even if he ends up on the block, I think the votes are there to keep him. And I think that Cody has shown that when he wants something, he is able to get it this season. The question is, who will be sitting next to David? It's probably going to be Kevin. Now, I think that Cody also would like for Davon to leave this week, but I think he will take David staying. That's his primary goal. Davon leaving is his secondary goal. I think he's not going to push as hard for that. Kevin leaving is fine for him, too. So we'll see.
Big, we will see. Yeah. This could come down to the veto once again.
Yeah. Cody also gives Nicole crap. Apparently, Cody never got an invite to Nicole's wedding either.
Yeah. This short list is fascinating of like who are my friends and who got invites and who didn't. It's also incredible that 44 days in, we're still talking about this wedding some way.
He was like, half the cast of BB16 got an invite to your wedding. I did not. And she was like, well, yeah, because I spent all my time in jury hanging out with them. Thanks to you.
Not wrong.
Cody talks to David. Like I said, he gives him some like lighthearted crap about picking him to be a have not. It's that thing. I think I talked about it on the roundtable the other day that like Cody is able to kind of like smile through, like, you know what I'm saying? Like he's
like smooth blunt.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Like, dude, you picked me. I was pissed about it for like a second. And I was like, oh, my God, I got to chill because, you know, it's not that big of a deal, man. But like, I'm still giving you crap for it because, you know, you did this to me. But like, it's fine. And man, like, I wouldn't even be joking around with you about it if we weren't so, you know, close, because I'm annoyed that I've got to eat slop. But like, I can't even. Like fully do it. But he's doing that. They're joking around. Like he is laying the charm on thick to David. He is working hard, to try to tell David like, hey, I've got you. Like David is in a vulnerable position. He just got yelled at by his only allies. His biggest enemy in the house just won HOH, and he's very vulnerable, and Cody knows this, and he's using this opportunity to try to be like, hey, man, look at me smiling at you. I'm safe harbor from all of your troubles. Come to me.
That is something that, you know, I think credit where credit is due, because to you know, put everything down and be willing to look at this from a game perspective and put the work in to bring someone in. I appreciate that a lot in leaps and bounds, because I will say he does do it in a very smooth manner. He is related to Pauly Calafiore. They both have the Calafiore eye. So I see the Pauly in him. So I'm like, he's like one like condescending smile away from really coming off that way, but he's able to do it on a different level. He's able to do it on a social level, and it doesn't come off in any way catty or, you know, just upsetting in any way. Like, you feel comfortable because he started this conversation with like, you've been dogging me, man. Like, you were dogging me. And to start it that way and to end it where he ended it, it's impressive to me. It is David. So it's like playing tennis with the net down a little bit, but it's still impressive nonetheless.
Yeah, because like, I think like 99% of people, if they were saying the same things that Cody is saying, it would come off like, oh, you're mad. You're mad at
yes,
me.
Big mad.
But Cody has a way about him that makes it seem like I know that I'm stupid for being upset. And like, even though I was upset, like, it's not a big deal. And like, hey, you should not feel bad about it. Like, it's on me and I'm going to make you feel good about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally get it.
So whether or not it's working on David is another story. Obviously, like I said, David had planned on putting Cody up as a have not because he knows that Cody's like, you know, in charge of the house. So, you know, we'll see where this goes. But, you know, ultimately, I do think that this is a good move for Cody. Like, obviously, Tyler had David, but David now doesn't trust Tyler. And I do feel like David might choose Cody over Tyler, which is not great for Tyler, because Tyler is running out of options pretty quick here, and we'll need to start picking up some pieces somewhere, especially if Cody's going to pull in David. So Tyler does talk to Nicole. They talk about continuing their ruse. Tyler says that Devon went up to him while the feeds were down and claimed that she was a vote to keep him. That she was the vote, not David.
Mm-hmm. This happened.
He was like, oh, okay. Thank you.
The tightrope that these house guests choose to walk is fascinating to me. This whole vote has been built on a house of cards. And it's just a matter of fact that none of it. No, I don't think anyone really. The only person that would have been in a position to really buy it was Ian. Ian's out now. The only people left that are confused as to what's going on are Devon and Kevin with David. And then David later, when he finds out that the rest of the house is going to be seeing it the way that he hasn't been seeing it. It's just so fascinating. And I think this was such a misstep for Devon to try and claim this. Like, big misstep. Big misstep.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not going to change your position that much, right? Like, it's just like, she's already in trouble, right? Like, right. But yeah, I mean, definitely, I don't know what she's doing here, you know, because she thinks it was David. But even if she thinks it's David, then obviously, like, why would Tyler not think it was David? You know, it's just messy. It's just messy. Christmas talks to Nicole. Nicole says that David shouldn't go this week. And Christmas agrees. So Cody's got some allies here. And Nicole says that Kevin and Day are really close, so it makes sense to separate them. And Christmas says that she will try to, at Nicole's urging, influence Memphis to not target David this week. She thinks that she has some sway with him, so she might be able to make that happen. So Cody via Nicole, via Christmas, already getting in some work. Enzo talks to Cody. They say they want to keep David this week because he can be useful to them. That if Day is on the block, they're sending her home. And if David's on the block, they're keeping him. They also talk about how Christmas needs to go soon. She's got to go soon. She's dangerous. And they talk about Memphis's proposition of a final three with the three of them. How they're like, oh, yeah, Memphis wants to work with us. That's good.
It's a good situation. Now, the one thing that remains is, what is this going to be named? And is it going to be better than Triple Threat?
Well, whatever the name is, it's got to work for the Christmas Enzo Memphis final three as well. So,
these are the facts. Yeah, it's got to have the same name. I forgot about that little element of it.
Yeah. So Day talks to Kevin. She talks about how David will not admit to his vote. She says he's no longer is he Denzel Washington. He is now he's Tyler Perry with his bad acting.
these are words that were uttered.
What did I tell you? When he's lying, he's Denzel. When he's telling the truth, he's Tyler Perry.
It's funny because if when he's telling the truth, you look at the way he's saying the things and it's all confusing, he is kind of acting, but I don't think he realizes he's acting. So maybe he's even a better actor when he is speaking the truth because it's in riddles and we don't really know what he's saying.
Day talks to Tyler. She asks him who he thinks voted for him. And he includes David and her in the list. Well, you, David, Enzo, Memphis, I think. She's like, well, let me tell you, Tyler, that David approached me to try and tie up the vote because he wanted to get blood on his. I don't know if David voted for you, Tyler, David was trying to tie up this vote and get blood. I don't know who his other votes were, but he did approach me about this. So you got to watch out for that. And Tyler's like, oh, man, thank you for telling me this. That's a new information to me.
That's how I imagine that conversation goes in Tyler's head of like, I'm just gonna leave it. I'm gonna nod. I'm like, okay, this is what it is. Davon, this is what it is. I want to move on. Again, it's the charades that they're playing. I just don't see the benefit of, but also it's at this point of the game. This is what we're going to see a lot of this going through because the jury's in motion now. So we're just going to have to see a lot of these conversations go on and, no results, some results, but I think minimal ultimately.
Yeah. I mean, I think like, you know, these people are bringing in elements of their season into this season. Cody brought in the big alliance running the game. Memphis is bringing in the secret halfway through the game made alliances. Nicole is bringing in the I'm gonna pretend to be sad about a thing and, you know, for the audience. Tyler is bringing in the let's cause chaos amongst the opposition to make them not trust each other. It's like all of these people are. Danny's bringing in the disastrous HOH reigns. They're each bringing in pieces of their games into this one and combine mushing them all together.
I liked it better when you explained it that way, because I pictured it as a crossover movie where everyone comes in with their superpowers, but now it's one big superpower. So thank you, Taryn. Thank you for finding positive ways for spins for all this that's going on.
Yeah. Yes, Enzo brings the brigade, style
classic
stuff. Danny talks to Day. Danny is still pretending to not be happy that Tyler stayed. She's like, oh, I'm scared of him. And they talk about how he's close to winning HOH. Day says, David's gotta go. Day's gonna try and get David out this week, which I think will help David.
I think so.
If she approaches Memphis saying that David should go, I think Memphis will be like, okay, maybe Cody has a point.
Yeah. I think in a season where the word untouchable has jumped up the vocabulary, the fact that Davon just used the veto on Kevin, and the fact that they've spent a lot of time after that veto ceremony being mad that she did this and went against what Danny would have wanted. I think it's become very obvious that they're a clean cut pair, and that's her untouchable now that Bailey's gone. So now from one untouchable to the next untouchable, this untouchable needs to be separated. So yes. I think that this will only endorse David staying.
And I also think that it will help Davon in Memphis's eyes. Because the argument I think will be that Davon and David don't trust each other. She wants David gone. Let's keep the two of them in the house. Let's get rid of Kevin, the potential middleman.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing that Kevin has going against them, is that I don't think anyone necessarily sees Kevin as part of their end game plan. Where I could see Davon being as part of some people's plans. Like, I think Danny feels better with Davon potentially out of the three. And I think that obviously we've talked extensively about Cody looking at David as part of his end game. So Kevin is the easy one to pick off. Sadly enough, it is his birthday today. right? If I'm not
yes,
that wrong.
So yes, Friday.
That is a thing that is going to be happening.
There you go. Now I am concerned about Devon for a couple of reasons. One is that Cody wants her gone. If she ends up on the block, he could get the votes to get her gone. Two is that this Women's Alliance thing could be a reason to send her home over Kevin. That like, okay, maybe she's anti David more so than Kevin, but she could be a piece for Danny and Nicole. And so if we take her out, then we make sure that they don't have any pieces to use. And so that could be an argument against her. So that I'm concerned about. But like I said, Memphis at the start of the night said she's the one he's least concerned about. So I'm feeling like if I had to guess, I do think that Devon will be left off the block. I think it's going to be Kevin and David, with Kevin potentially as the target. I think that that concession will be made. But then if the veto is used, I am concerned about Devon. But anything can technically happen at this point. I think that in order of most danger to least danger, Kevin is in the most danger. Devon is in the second most danger. And David is the safest at the moment.
Yeah. So I was thinking, do you think Cody could use this as an argument of, hey, Memphis, look, they just used the veto on Kevin. If you don't put Day up and you put Kevin and David up, mm-hmm. then there's a potential chance that she has a veto draw. She plays again, takes him off.
It's a just very good argument.
Just put them next to each other. And then if one of them wins, you put David on like you wanted anyways.
Yeah. Will use the veto on Kevin. David's not going to use the veto on either of them because they don't trust him.
Right.
The argument.
Exactly.
And he'll probably get David to go. I mean, let's get David to agree. He won't do it. I could see that.
Then the question is, will he think of making that argument? Given what we know about how Cody, if he wants something, he'll try and make it happen. I think it'll come to his mind at some point and he'll use it on Memphis. We'll just have to see.
Yep. Because what Memphis does not want to do is have to nominate somebody from the committee or Enzo if he doesn't have to. That's a good point, Puya.
it's not what I want. This isn't like my.
Puya, why are you making Day go on the block?
No,
stop it.
There is no way I'm gonna let you pay me as this. I'm just saying, if I'm playing devil's advocate, and believe me, I'm playing devil's advocate when Memphis is at the helm of how does this work out for Cody? This is the argument you have to make to solidify that, because I do think more often than not, he's gonna want David to be one of the two on the block anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, final conversation of the night. Danny and Nicole talked for a while about, this game is so hard. But they also talked about how Danny does not want Day to go this week. And Nicole says she doesn't either, but she's afraid that Day is going to find out they lied to her. And so at the end of the day, if Day has to go, Nicole's going to be okay with it because she's worried that Day's going to find out she lied to her.
Yeah. Which, we can discuss the merits of should they have done this today? Should they have tried to pull the wool over her eyes by framing David? I don't know. I don't know if there was a benefit there. I do think that ultimately, even if Day was to find out, potentially they could still work together down the line if, Day isn't the first target this week and she makes that out alive. But also, if I was them, I'd be shaking in my boots too for this. So, yeah, I think Nicole's feelings of if she's got to go, she's got to go is fine. I also don't think Nicole's the type of person who can let something like that go. I think her paranoia will always haunt her and it'll always make her feel worried about Devon now, even though she is the person who freaking caused this by doing this with Devon. Not that Devon did anything.
Oh, yeah. It's I did somebody wrong and now I have to do them more wrong so they don't get me back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go. Puya, anything else you wanted to bring up from yesterday?
I mean, I think the people were waiting for this one. I think the former employee of the Bayonne Nipple Factory, nipples, having a nipple yes. off, We have to talk about, we don't have to, like, I don't know if there's much to talk about, but basically, if you want to hear about the fact that Cody and Enzo had tiny nipple offs, then you can definitely find that scene from the feeds last night.
And Tyler has perfect circles.
Yes. And the rest have ovals. This is things we learned. It was Cody Enzo. And then Tyler talked about, yes. So there's a lot of nipples involved, basically. So you can find that on Twitter. You can find that on Reddit. And now we've mentioned it here. So you can find that here.
Oh, yeah. As the official nipple judge of RHAP, who has the best nipples?
I think that most people would say Cody, potentially. But I do think that Enzo, like fine wine, those nipples aged, is what I'm going to say.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. I don't like that I'm like the nipple king now, but it is what it is. we'll move on.
Booyah, the nipple king. These titles create themselves. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. You can find me on Twitter at ArmstrongTaren or on Twitch, twitch.tv/TarenArmstrong. Booyah, what are you up to? Where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, Puyaism on all three. We've got the 90 Day Fiance Rahapa podcast up, ready to go, the latest episode. And then Masked Singer preview coming soon. Probably going to get released sometime this weekend, if not Monday at the latest, I am hoping. So be sure to check out for those. It's going to be a fun ride. This is my last weekend of proper sleep before all the shows say, hey, Puya, dance. And I'm like, okay, we're dancing. So I'm excited.
There you go. All right. Thanks again for joining us, guys. I'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. And then tomorrow night, Saturday night roundtable, we will be talking about the legacy of these players. We'll see where Ian falls. We'll see where Tyler is after his big fall last week. And many more, with hopefully a special guest for you tomorrow night. So look out for the Saturday night roundtable tomorrow night. And we'll also have some, so we were able to submit questions to Ian as long as he's playing ball and doing exit press. We will probably have some kind of response as somewhere. If you find me on Twitter at ArmstrongTaren, I'm sure I will tweet it out for you so you can find it. But look out for that as well. Thanks again for joining us, and see you next time.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.